Hello, this is Kathy, and today is Monday, August 24th, 2026, and I will be reading the Providence Journal. Capital Fight by Patrick Anderson. The Providence mayoral campaign between Brett Smiley and David Morales is an old-school clash of ideas. Democrat-socialist Morales is headlining a push by Providence's political left to take control of City Hall, where it already has a council majority, and make it the latest blue city municipal government to embrace a new form of progressive populism. Smiley is a well-known figure in Rhode Island's Democratic establishment, a former consultant and top aide to Gina Raimondo, who grabbed national attention during last winter's Brown University shooter manhunt and may be surprised to find himself in a tough re-election scrap. The New York City fundraiser where Morales supporter and Reclaim Rhode Island organizer Dan Denvir said David is going to turn Providence, Rhode Island into a laboratory for municipal socialism has featured prominently in Smiley's attack ads. Is Morales the next Zora Mondami? All politics is local, but this campaign really revolves around real estate. Smiley, whose husband works in the industry, wants private investment in residential development to help drive the city economy and improve housing affordability through increased supply. Morales argues that the free market has failed to make homes affordable and more government intervention is needed. The rent stabilization fight dominated the debate for the past year, but Morales also wants the city to adopt an aggressive inclusionary zoning law that would require new private developers to rent units below market rate. Landlords and developers have poured money into Smiley's campaign and, behind the scenes, are warning of capital flight if Morales is elected. Smiley has used his money's advantage to blanket the airwaves and doorsteps in negative ads and mailers warning voters not of a construction slowdown but a crime wave if they don't reelect him. Both candidates have pledged not to raise property taxes next year. The winner of the September 9th primary will face Republican Dave Talon in the November general election. The Journal hosted Morales and Smiley for separate newsroom interviews on August 5th to discuss the biggest issues in the campaign. Smiley and Morales on crime. While bashing Morales' 2021 comments on blocking police funding, Smiley touts the lowest violent crime rate in 35 years. It is based on the number of homicides, sexual assaults, robberies, and aggravated assaults in 2025, which were the lowest since 1990. Unfortunately, the city has seen violent incidents creep up so far this year. Through August 16th, the number of reported crimes in each of those categories is up modestly. Will it still be fair to say violent crime is at an historic low if it ends this year higher than last? This year is still well below the five-year average, and so it is still low levels of crime, Smiley said. But make no mistake, we're always trying to get to zero. There's no amount of violent crime that's acceptable to me, and it shouldn't be acceptable to members of this community. Is this year just a blip? Or is something more going on that could be the start of a trend? There have been two incidents, and this is something that is alarming to all of us around youth-involved crime, Smiley said. And that's why we work so hard at recreational opportunities and educational outcomes, and even things like good jobs for parents so that they can be around more to be with their kids. Shortly after announcing his campaign for mayor, Morales said, he does not want to defund the police, but Smiley has branded him Defund David for remarks at a 2021 protest outside Providence Police Headquarters in which Morales said he would fight to keep our tax dollars away from police to make sure we don't continue to fund these places of brutality. How has Morales' thinking on policing evolved since 2021? Back in July of 2021, there was a disturbing incident where several kids were pepper sprayed by police officers, including one child as young as the age of 4, Morales said. While this was happening, there were discussions at City Hall around increasing police funding in the following year's budget. I, for one, thought it was wrong that we were going to reward behavior where a child was pepper sprayed with an increase in funding for the department. Since then, Morales has said he has not opposed adding to the police budget and proposes bringing back the Commissioner of Public Safety position and increasing case management and social services funding. He says he does not agree with the current Democratic Socialists of America's platform, which calls for abolishing police and prisons. Smiley and Morales on homelessness. Morales has criticized Smiley for clearing homeless encampments in Providence. Unlike Brett Smiley, we will take the actual steps to work with our neighbors that are experiencing homelessness on the ground and therefore work directly with social service agencies to start seeking actual solutions, Morales said on how he would handle the issue. What we have seen over the last several years are several instances where the homeless Bill of Rights have been violated here in the city of Providence and encampments that have been cleared without proper notice. People's belongings have been seized and literally trashed. What if, for whatever reason, someone refuses to leave an encampment? My approach is making sure that it is very clear to our unhoused community members that where they are going to be located will be a safe space that actually provides services and resources, he said. Smiley denies violating the state's homeless Bill of Rights when it comes to encampments. He says the city gives 30 days of notice before any removal. Officer offers services during that time and offers to store belongings and then gives a final 48-hour notice before clearing the area. These are not suitable places for people to live. No one aspires to live in an encampment, Smiley said at WPRO's radio recent debate. I have firsthand knowledge of horrible acts of violence in encampments, especially against women, overdoses, fires, and these are not suitable places for people to live. Smiley and Morales on the Superman building. The city's tallest building, the Industrial Trust Tower, has been empty since 2013, and the estimated cost of converting it to apartments has soared from $220 million to $325 million. The state and city committed $41 million toward the redevelopment 4 years ago, but the building's owner is waiting on a loan from President Donald Trump's administration to do the work. Time to cut bait? I don't think so, Smiley said. While it's frustrating for all of us, there have been actual forward steps taken in the federal approval process. They passed an environmental review, then they recently passed a credit review, which was a necessary step. And so there are signs of progress, and that has been under this administration. Would he consider having the city acquire the property, either to redevelop it or tear it down? I do not support tearing the building down. It's iconic, Smiley said. It is part of our skyline and I think could be a really exciting home to hundreds of Providence residents. Morales is done with the current deal with Superman building owner High Rock Development, including the $15 million the city agreed to contribute. I believe we need to go back to the drawing board with High Rock, Morales said. I believe that the proposal that they have in front of us is not sustainable. And I've said from the very start, being solely reliant on conversion to luxury type apartments would not be the solution for the Superman building. Morales wants to convert part of the building to housing while also reserving some commercial space to support emerging entrepreneurs and small business owners that want to expand their operation in Providence while also being able to provide space for our institutions of higher education. In particular, he sees an opportunity to train new dentists in the Echo Art Deco landmark, and he definitely believes public ownership should be on the table. Tear it down? That would be the last resort, Morales said. Morales and Smiley on education. The Providence public schools are finally returning to local control this year. Now comes the hard part, improving the lackluster performance that prompted a state takeover in the first place. Morales is endorsed by the Providence Teachers Union and Smiley's predecessor, Jorge Elorza. If elected, he wants to revamp up hiring of teachers, counselors, and social workers. The reality is we have a staffing crisis all over Providence Public Schools, Morales said. We don't have enough counselors at the elementary level. We certainly do not have enough social workers between the middle school and high school. Our special education classrooms are lacking in teaching assistance. Smiley this summer released a Cradle to Career plan to provide a better interconnected wraparound model for families throughout the school year. When pressed on how he will avoid the district's old pitfalls, he mentions changing the union contract, particularly seniority rules that prescribe many personnel decisions. He supports a bill sponsored by State Senator Sam Zurier that loosens teachers' seniority rules. Zurier has endorsed Smiley. Senator Zuria's bill, I think, is absolutely a step on the right track where layoffs aren't restricted solely to seniority, where we have additional flexibility for outcomes and modeling what's happening in Springfield, Massachusetts, what they call empowerment zones, Smiley said. Would Morales support scaling back seniority rules? It's tough to tell. We certainly need to reform our non-renewable policies, because we've seen far too many teachers, whether in their first year or their second year, displaced, and it's done a disservice, he said. But I believe that as a part of that, there needs to be a comprehensive discussion directly with our teachers that are on the front lines. What I do not want to see are politicians just making decisions that they feel are best without actually engaging with our families, with our teachers, that are actively on the ground. Smiley and Morales on flock cameras. The nationwide rebellion against automated license plate scanning cameras has caused several Rhode Island towns to cancel their contracts with flock safety and Governor Dan McKee to call for a six-month pause. Providence's flock contract expires in October. No renewal has been announced, but Smiley said a new agreement with the company with new terms has been reached. I have a sort of a general concern all around all technologies of that manner, but I have confidence in our safeguards and our legal agreement, Smiley said about the city's camera network. And in fact, we just recently renewed our agreement with Flock and updated our legal agreement. And so we now control who we share the data with. We are able to produce an audit trail, and we monitor them to ensure that the license plate readers here in Providence are being used as contracted. Morales wouldn't renew Flock. He'd cancel. Unfortunately, there have been several examples over the past year where Flock has violated the terms and agreements that they have with their municipalities around data sharing, Morales said. The data sharing that unfortunately has been shared with federal immigration authorities, like we saw in the state of Illinois, did not just violate the agreement they have with the municipality. It also violated state law. So, regardless of what data protections may exist in our current agreement between the City of Providence and Flock, I do not believe that we should wait for them to violate our existing contract. If there is another Brown University shooter on loose, would Morales tell residents that although cameras might be able to find him, we should not use them? In regards to the Brown shooter, there were other factors that played into being able to locate the individual, he said. And it wasn't just solely dependent on flock surveillance. And so I believe it is important that during this moment, as this technology continues to evolve, that we take a pause and that we cancel our current contract with flock. we deactivate the cameras and we see if there's a shift in behavior with the company. Smiley and Morales on housing. Morales wants the city to build and own social housing on vacant or municipally owned lots and not to rely on private developers. This would be funded through borrowing. If developers do want to build in the city, Morales would require 20% of all apartments to rent to tenants at 80% of the area median income. What does Smiley think of the public developer housing model? We don't build housing. Other people build housing. We work closely with the Providence Housing Authority right now. They've got a maintenance backlog we're supporting, Smiley said. Morales hasn't said how we're going to pay for any of that, because you can't just take someone's land. You have to actually purchase it. And if you take it by eminent domain, not only is it slow, it's also costly. The eminent domain statute to require that you pay 1.5 times the market value. Does Morales embrace private development? I do not want to see the city of Providence prioritizing market rate and above market rate housing units and ignoring the importance of investing in affordable housing. Morales said, we've seen over 1,000 new housing units come online into the city of Providence, yet over 70% of them are at the market rate or above. I do not believe that is a fair ratio. Pizza Strip Fund Hopes to Bring Neighbors Together by Antonia Norifazan. A new initiative called the Pizza Strip Fund is offering grants that can be used to purchase snacks and supplies for small-scale neighborhood gatherings in the Providence suburbs. Pizza strips are the original Rhode Island low-lift gathering food. They're easy to serve, easy to eat, and a guaranteed crowd pleaser, the website explains. You can use the fund to grab some party pizza from a favorite local bakery or to cover any easy lift snack you like. The fund will provide between $50 to $150 for gatherings of 10 people or more that bring people together who might not otherwise connect. The website says it's particularly aimed at car-dependent suburbs where residents can easily become isolated from another. For many of us, it's easy to go days without doing more than waving to our neighbors, organizer Jillian Finkel said in a statement. If this description applies to you, our fund is for you and your neighbors. People interested in hosting a community gathering can learn more and apply for funding at Pizza Strips. .lovable.app. What's behind the initiative? The initiative's organizers, including Finkel, Jessica David, and Jessica Talback, describe themselves as a bunch of Rhode Islanders who really like our neighbors. They are partnering with Neighbors, a national nonprofit that funds local micro-grant programs intended to strengthen civic life by inviting neighbors to gather with neighbors. The Pizza Strip Fund is one of about 20 initiatives taking place around the country, in this case with a distinctively Rhode Island spin. Pizza strips were originally made from leftover bread, David said. They made good lunches for workers on the sites where refrigeration wasn't available. That's the spirit of this initiative, using what we have to bring people together. The organizers note that the funding doesn't have to be used for pizza strips. Hosts could also organize other low-fuss get-togethers like driveway hangs with donuts and coffee, popsicles on the porch, or apple cider around a fire pit, according to a press release. This is about bringing people together, David said. Elaborate dinner parties or major block parties are nice, but they can be challenging to organize. We're talking about low-stakes, low-lift gatherings. How to qualify for funding. Events that receive the funding should be open to the neighborhood and fund neighborly place-based, the organizers said. The money cannot be used for professional networking events or commercial events, or to promote a specific brand, company, product, or service, position, or candidate. The Pizza Strip Fund doesn't have strict geographical perimeters or a rigid definition of what counts as a suburb. Instead, the organizers say they're trying to address the isolation that comes even within neighborhoods with the suburban model of single-family homes with separate driveways and without walkable amenities or infrastructure. If you feel that, like your neighborhood is ripe for a Pizza Strip Fund microgrant, tell us, the website says. Funding is being awarded on first-come, first-served basis. To be eligible, a potential host must agree to hold their gathering before November 1st, receive funds via Venmo or PayPal, and be willing to share a short reflection and story or photo from the gathering, according to the website. These get-togethers are about making connections close to home on the streets we walk and drive most, Tabak said. In the busyness of life, we don't always make time or have the resources to spark those connections. People in the news. Neutrogena issues first statement on Panettiere amid backlash. Following Hayden Panettiere's shocking death, fans are resurfacing some of the career revelations she shared in her final months, including her allegation that Neutrogena attempted to end their longtime partnership after she spoke publicly about her postpartum depression. Now the brand is speaking out. In her 2026 memoir, This Is Me, A Reckoning, and interviews promoting the book in May, the 36-year-old said the cosmetics brand owned by Kenvue wanted to fire her after she shed light on her condition on Live with Kelly and Michael in 2015, less than a year after she gave birth to her daughter, Kaya. Panettiere's comments drew backlash in May from social media users, including one beauty content creator who declared, "Neutrogena hates women," and criticism of the brand saw renewed fever after the hero's actress died at age 36 on August 16th. USA Today has reached out to Neutrogena for comment. Neutrogena released a formal statement on Instagram on August 20th concerning Panettiere's death amid the wave of criticism the skincare brand faced related to the actress's allegation. For more than a decade, Hayden was a valued member of our Neutrogena community. We are proud to have partnered with her and understand that we made her feel unsupported during a very difficult time, the statement read. This is not what Neutrogena stands for or who we want to be. Hayden's courage in sharing her challenges helped inspire important conversations and awareness, the brand continued. We are making a significant investment to a long-standing community health partner to give more women access to the support they need, including care for postpartum depression. We will share more details with this community when plans are in place. Out of respect for Hayden's family and loved ones, we do not want to speak out so soon following her passing. Everyone at Neutrogena extends their deepest condolences to Hayden's family and all who loved her, the statement concluded. Actor Ki Hyu Kwan has his hopes up for potential Goonies sequel. A Goonies sequel is still in the works, Ki-hoon Kwan says. Kwan played a bite-sized inventor, Data, in the 1985 movie, which followed an adventurous band of kids in the search of lost treasure to save their home from foreclosure. In early 2025, Warner Brothers hired a scriptwriter for a sequel, with Steven Spielberg, Christy McCosco, Krager and Holly Barrio producing alongside Chris Columbus, who wrote the original script based on the story by Spielberg. Updates have been sparse, but Kwan says he heard from Spielberg the sequel is still in the works. Analysis. Trump short on foreign policy wins, by Hamariah Pamhook, Andrea Shalal, and Stephen Holland. Washington. With the Iran war now at a costly standoff and crisis from Ukraine to Gaza still unresolved, President Donald Trump's ambitious foreign policy agenda appears stuck as he heads into November's midterm elections. The setbacks are striking for a president who returned to office last year promising to be a peacemaker and made resolving international conflicts the centerpiece of his second-term agenda. Trump has grown impatient with reporters' questions and even U.S. allies. Last week, he lashed out at reporters pressing him on foreign policy issues and renewed his threat to bomb Oman, a U.S. ally negotiating with Iran to reopen the Strait of Hormuz. Labor Day on September 7th this year is traditionally when election campaigns kick into high gear and Republicans face the prospect that unresolved conflicts abroad and their economic fallout at home could cost the party its hold on Congress. Trump has called off talks with Tehran after pushing for weeks for a diplomatic solution and announced on August 19th a new campaign of economic warfare against the Islamic Republic in an apparent acknowledgement that months of military attacks have not forced the concessions the United States wants to see. As inflation persists and the Iran war drives up gasoline prices, Trump's approval rating has fallen to another low point, with just 33% of Americans in the latest Reuters Ipsos poll approving of his performance. Other efforts to broker peace have also stalled. On August 17th, Trump's negotiator and son-in-law, Jared Kushner, left empty-handed from talks to advance a Gaza peace deal. And an expected visit to Kiev by Kushner and Trump envoy Steve Witkoff to revive long-stalled negotiations to end Russia's war in Ukraine has not yet happened. The president wants a more stable world, and that means attempting to resolve disputes, whether hot like Ukraine or cold like trade and overcapacity, said Nick Snyder, a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute, adding that Trump also worked to settle conflicts between Rwanda and Congo and Thailand and Cambodia. Meanwhile, the political clock is ticking, with Trump's Republican Party facing elections that could cost it control of one or both chambers of Congress and sharply curtail his ability to advance his agenda during his final 2 years in office.